Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. This is God's word. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown.
Folks, this is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, the Great Faith Hall of Fame. And it is certainly a beautiful testament to the fact that down through the ages, God has shown himself faithful in the faith of his people. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. But there are several things about the nature of faith that I want us to focus on in this chapter today. The first is the fact that faith is something that involves our understanding. It involves our mind. Look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Faith involves the cognitive process. It involves thinking. We don't need to turn our minds off. We need to have our minds renewed by God's word. Now it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. I wasn't there. You weren't there. Richard Dawkins wasn't there. Charles Darwin wasn't there. The author of this book wasn't there. But by faith, we come to understand what God says about what happened. God reveals truth in his word, and by faith, we believe God's account of what happened. And thereby, our understanding is shaped in accordance with the truth of God's word. That's not turning your brain off. That is believing the truth of God's word. You understand the difference? Now, I don't understand how he did that. Well, I don't understand how he did it. I don't have to understand how he did it. I understand that he did it. Huge difference. So we understand certain things by faith, and that faith has to do with a trust relationship with the God who has revealed himself. He's revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself in his word. He's revealed himself finally in the person of Jesus Christ. But our faith is not something that involves becoming less intellectual. Don't turn your brain off. You're to love God with your mind. Now, not just your mind, but your mind is included. You're to love God with the mind that he gave you, but that mind needs to be shaped and cleansed and enlightened by the truth of God's word. So, by faith, we understand certain things. For example, that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Please understand that that sets the foundation for what's going to follow in the rest of the chapter, because it's not only talking about the fact that we understand certain things by faith, but that faith has to do with God's ability to bring into being and set things in place not based on what we can see. It was created out of that which was not there, or as he says here, was not made out of what was visible. Okay? God created the universe out of nothing. Not just out of invisible stuff. He created it out of nothing. Ex nihilo is the term we use to describe that. And I want you to understand this. If you're looking around at the present situation and you're saying, well, I don't see how God's going to make anything good out of this, you don't know him very well. Okay? Because God doesn't need anything to work with. God created the universe. He spoke the universe into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So when we look at what is coming, it's not based on what we can see. It is based on what God says. And that changes everything. The second thing that we see here is that all these people who were listed and what they did, it was in the context of a relationship with God that involved not only believing things and understanding things to be so because of what God says, but they had this, I don't know another way to put it, I've said it several times, trust. They trusted God. Now, every other person that you could possibly know has the capacity to let you down. Okay? Even when they intend to do well, even when they are honest, they're fallible. They could be wrong. But God's never wrong. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows all things. Other people will tell you based on limited knowledge, and will seek to accomplish their purposes based on limited power. God knows all things and has all power. So when God says, this is what's coming, you can take that to the bank. These people who knew God knew him to be that kind of God. They believed some things about him that changed the way they lived. And so faith is not just involving our understanding, but it involves believing certain things about the nature of God. Look at verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Would you say this is a pretty important subject? It's impossible. This is an essential. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe, and we're given two examples of what we must believe. This is not everything we must believe. These are examples of the fact that biblical faith has content, okay? It is creedal. It's not believe whatever you want. You know, as long as you're sincere, as long as you really believe it strongly, then that's good, okay? No. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, if I had been writing this chapter, I probably would have had a different verse there. I mean, for instance, anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. Well, that's pretty obvious. You know, I mean, really. I mean, must believe that he exists. Sure, of course, that goes without saying. Well, no, it really doesn't. But this is not just a statement that you must believe that God exists. It's saying that the core of our faith is about Him. You see, the core of our faith is not just to believe strongly. It's to trust Him. You got to believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek to do the right thing. Is that what it says? And that He rewards those who diligently follow the path of enlightenment. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. It says that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Faith is about relationship. Faith is not just about believing stuff. It's about believing, trusting in Him. And so when we talk about faith being cognitive and faith being creedal, don't get lost in the weeds there. Understand that faith at its core is about trusting in God, depending on Him, relying on Him, knowing Him. What are we seeking if we have faith? Him. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Would you say that you are seeking after God? Would you say that you are diligently seeking after God? I mean, are you working at this? Are you really wanting to know Him? Or is God kind of a, you know, I think that needs to be a very, you know, it's an important part of my life. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I just want to challenge you, brothers and sisters. Please understand that God is someone we should be seeking continually. The third thing that I would emphasize as we look at the nature of faith is, we said cognitive and creedal, it's also confessional. That is to say, faith is something you can't just have and not express. What you believe, what you really are trusting in, will be expressed. And what we see in this passage is something we see all through Scripture about the nature of faith. It is confessed with our mouth, and it's confessed with our behavior. It's confessed by our conduct. It's confessed by our lives. All these people said things that demonstrated their faith. Those who say such things, that's one of the quotes there, those who say such things make it clear that they are looking for a better place. But all these people did stuff. They didn't just believe stuff intellectually. They did stuff. We've talked about the nature of repentance before, that the word repent, metanoia, means a change of mind, but it is absolutely essential to understand that it is a change of mind that results in a change of direction. Okay? God calls us to confess not just with our lips, but with our lives, to turn, to change. And what we see in this passage is that the people who were commended for their faith all did stuff. The first one on the list is Abel. Abel demonstrated his faith by what he did. He offered the kind of sacrifice that God commanded, the kind of sacrifice that God would accept. And you and I need to realize that from Abel forward, the examples of faith all through this chapter were people who did things, and they didn't demonstrate their faith just by doing something that they thought would be good. They did something in obedience to God. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. He didn't say, you know, I'm tired of living in Ur of the Chaldeans. I need room to get out and do something new. I want to pioneer somewhere. I think I'd like to go somewhere else. It's not what happened. When God told him what to do, he obeyed and went. It's not faith just to do something because you think it's a grand idea. God calls us to live a life that is based on trusting him and doing what he says. Obedience to God is what we're called to. And if we walk in obedience to God, we will in time see miracles. And for some people, those miracles will involve things like the birth of Isaac. What a great miracle that was. Or the provision of the sacrifice there on Mount Moriah when he was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice. And God provided miraculously a substitute there on the mountain where one day Jesus would be the substitute, the only son who would be sacrificed there on that mountain for us. Beautiful, beautiful, miraculous provision. Moses saw the miracles of God that brought deliverance to the people of Israel. And we say, praise the Lord, isn't that grand? And it is, it's wonderful, but that's not the only kind of thing that we see happening in this chapter. Instead, we also see this. There were those who were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes of the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Well, Pastor, I thought you said that if we walk in faith, we're going to see miracles. We will see miracles, but sometimes we're only going to see them from the vantage point of glory. If you look at every one of these people, their behavior was based not on present circumstances, but on God's promise concerning the future. Every single one of the people in this passage was living their life here and now based on what God said about what was coming. Abraham changed his name to Abraham because God said so. Imagine the embarrassing prospect when you're not able to have children and you're telling people to call you the father of many. Why did he do that? God, give me a bunch of kids and then I'll change my name. God says, no, you change your name now. You start agreeing with me about how things are going to be and you're going to see it come to pass. But there are some people in this chapter about the nature of faith who only saw the fulfillment of the promise after they were gone because the promise got fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And only in us, that is the body of Christ, are they made complete. Because what they suffered for now makes sense in light of the fact that God kept his promise and sent his son to save us. Those were people who were willing to die because they knew God keeps his promises. And God didn't promise you won't die. God promised that he is stronger and that death is not the end. And so they believed and they were willing to die. Folks, I want to ask you a question. Is that a good description of your faith? Do you understand that what God says is true and that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him? And are you therefore seeking him and confessing with your lips and with your lives that God is faithful and he keeps his promise and that doing what he says is the right thing to do? That's biblical faith. That's what these folks were called to. It's what you and I are called to. And sometimes we'll see the flames quenched and we'll see miracles happen right around us now. And other times, we will only see it from the other side. But God has promised that what he promises, he will do.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.